News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Text line there for you, 251-343-0106. Let us know what's going on. If you have a traffic update, pass it along, and we'll make sure that everyone is aware of it. A guy on a 158 up around Sarah Land on a riding lawnmower, evidently a little close to the road. So on this foggy morning, you want to be aware of that.
You really do. Not a good morning to be riding a lawnmower on the side of the road. The fog has been really thick. Good to have Dr. Bill back with us this morning. He said it's burning off. I think we may have had it here the worst at the airport in 65.
Pretty bad.
For a stretch this morning. It's still foggy out there, but we're getting along. A lot on the text line already this morning at 251-343-0106. Some texts about solar in Stockton, and a good interview we had Friday with Mike Tabb with the Integrity Energy Group. We'll have more where that came from moving forward as Dan with the Lanyap story this morning saying they have the signatures they need, right, for this zoning vote that they want to push. So we'll talk some about that, but also some texts about Iran, of course, and oil fields seem to be the focus of Iran right now. The Gulf states oil fields and Israel hitting some Iranian oil fields this weekend. Didn't seem like the U.S. was happy about that, but gas prices are way up, so we'll get into that too. But there was also a bit of a memorial, I guess, this weekend. Yeah. Or was that a straight-up funeral
Not sure, but Jesse Jackson died at least a weekend ago, and it just seemed like there wasn't much to it. I didn't hear much about it afterward for, I think significant role he played in the United States politically from, he ran for president in the 80s. He was a figure that could not be avoided.
He was a massive political figure.
Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah. And not that I agreed with all of his politics, but the point is he played a pretty big role. He was somebody at the table, it seemed like. And then he might have lost momentum as he got older and his skills kind of eroded a little bit. Maybe just the whole, his message maybe got a little stale. But in any event, he passed away, so they had a memorial over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a private memorial service Saturday in Chicago, and it was a big civil rights weekend, as it were, with Selma, and I believe the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. And I saw AL.com the Montgomery Advertiser posting that they had two shooting incidents in Selma over the weekend, and that led to them shutting down vendors for the bridge crossing Jubilee early because they were worried about more violence going through the night. But that was during this big weekend at the bridge in Selma. I'm not sure if they tried to line up the Jesse Jackson Memorial with that because it's such a big civil rights weekend, or I doubt that's the case. But you had a number of prominent Democratic politicians, former presidents, vice presidents who were there for the Jesse Jackson Memorial.
So can you imagine that you're one of them? And we'll get into who is in the audience here in just a moment. And then Joe Biden gets up to speak.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, please, God, just don't go long. just don't do anything really stupid or that sounds out of place considering where we are. But Biden being Biden, he brought up the fact that well, first of all, he compared his intellect with the intellects of the mourners, everybody that was there, largely a black crowd. And he did it because he was talking about the fact that he stuttered as a kid and he was made fun of. I don't know how that's appropriate at Jesse Jackson's funeral.
Yeah, well, maybe he was still stuck in campaign mode because it seemed to be what he would talk about fairly often. And remember, did we hear much at all about this stutter until his last run for president?
No.
I didn't think we did.
We didn't. And he talked about as a child he stuttered and he was mocked for it. So listen to what he tells the crowd here.
If I told you all earlier when I was a kid I had a cleft palate, or club foot, none of you would have laughed. But it's okay to laugh at stuttering. I'm not being critical of you, but think about it. It's the one place where people think you're stupid. Oh, really? I'm a hell of a lot smarter than most of you.
I'm a hell of a lot smarter than most of you. You got to laugh out of him, and that maybe was because he's old and feeble, maybe?
It is funny. Two separate, and I know he's not running for president again, or at least I don't think he is, but he and Newsom, Gavin Newsom, taking opposite tacts. He's telling everybody he's smarter than they are. Newsom's just happy to let everyone know how dumb he is.
That's how about that? But anyway, he said, I'm a hell of a lot smarter than most of you, and the you being the large contingent of black Americans in Chicago, along with Barack Obama, former President Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, Reverend Al Sharpton. They were all there.
Yeah.
So when he said, I'm a hell of a lot smarter than most of y'all, he was
going after Obama directly and Clinton.
That's five or six I pointed out there. Some of them were in that bullpen of people he thought he was smarter than.
Wouldn't you love to hear those whispers, too, as he was up there?
I know.
Obama and Clinton.
Like,
and
he did it. Like, he just did it.
Yeah. So Jesse Jackson's son, Jesse Jackson Jr., was not happy with how many of those politicos, what they had to say as they spoke at that memorial service. Even Obama and Kamala, he went after. So he, in that memorial service, let's see, the grieving son said Saturday during a private memorial service, yesterday I listened for several hours to three United States presidents who do not know Jesse Jackson. Said he maintained a tense relationship with the political order, not because the presidents were white or black, but the demands of our message, the demands of speaking for the least of these, those who are disinherited, the damned, the dispossessed, the disrespected, demanded not Democratic or Republican solutions, but demanded a consistent prophetic voice that at no point in time ever sold us out as people. So he was very frustrated, it sounds like, with Obama and Biden and Kamala using the memorial service from Friday to go after Trump politically. I think it was, let's see here, Obama. So during Friday's service at the Chicago House of Hope, Obama warned about the state of the nation, calling each day a new assault on our democratic institutions. Each day we're told by those in high office to fear each other and to turn on each other, and that some Americans count more than others, and that some don't even count at all. So you can imagine, they go on and just continue to go after Trump the entire time, when this was supposed to be about the life of Jesse Jackson. Even Kamala Harris, as she got up to speak, bragged that she, quote, predicted a lot about what's happening right now during her remarks. She said, I'm not into saying I told you so, but we did see it coming. So almost taking in her own view, a victory lap on being right about what she said was everything that's happening right now, for whatever that's worth. But that's interesting that Jesse Jackson Jr. said, hey, those people do not speak for the family.
Yeah. Can you imagine you're there for your father's memorial service and people that you know for a fact really weren't close to your dad at all? They're there ceremonially because they want to be there. They probably were invited. And then they get up and they speak in a way where you're like, it's got nothing to do with what his life was. You would have to be offended. I'm sure he was. If someone got up at a memorial service for someone that I cared about and was just way off point with whatever they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Or using it to settle a different, their own grudge.
That's, do that in the parking lot. I don't care. But not, that is offensive.
Yeah.
And, he let it be known. Good for him.
DEI texters says you guys can't be so obtuse to miss that he said that to the kids who bullied his stutter. Yeah, I think when he was saying, I'm smarter than all of you in here, maybe he meant the kids that were getting after him and not the people that were at the
service. But Biden
service.
Being Biden, he wasn't communicating it well. So I don't know what I don't know.
Glenn texting in, what's y'all's opinion on the America First, no wars president that ran on dropping prices? In the state of our current situation, fuel prices are skyrocketing. Check your investment accounts. What happened to America First? Well, that's the big conversation right now, right? With a lot of the voters for Trump. And gas prices have shot through the roof. I know I've been looking at the crude oil futures all morning, which nearly got to 120 Overnight, they're around $101 right now. But if you look at Gas Buddy and the average now in Mobile, up to nearly $3.13 a gallon. And, you know, yesterday I filled up. I should have done it a week ago. But
yeah, I'm same way.
Yesterday at Costco, I got it at $2.99, so I'm sure it's still going up. I saw Murphy was somewhere around $2.91 yesterday. But those prices have shot up. It looks like the national average, $3.46 a gallon right now.
You know, you can have questions about the what happened in Venezuela, which was successful. Was it needed? Looking back now at it, with China being the next, you know, China's in play in all of this, but, you know, if you don't realize it.
Did you realize 90% of Iran's oil goes to China?
Yeah.
90% of their exported oil.
Yes.
That's a lot. Yeah. I knew a lot of it went. I didn't know 90%.
90%. And so Iran was the next bad actor to be addressed, and we've done it in the way that Trump has done it. But there were even some Democrats not howling along party lines. This is Representative Henry Cuellar from, I think, the border in Texas. Mm. But he's a Democrat, and he's among the Democrats that said this was time.
For 47 years, Iran has been at war with the United States. Both Democratic and Republican presidents have seen this over 47 years. But it was President Trump that decided to take action. We can't forget that the Iranians have killed American soldiers. We cannot forget that they target American citizens in our land. And finally, we took some action, and it's the right thing to do.
So we have a Democrat saying it's the right thing to do. Not many of them are saying that because they don't want to bust up the momentum on the party line. But he said it. It just seemed to be the opportunity was there to take out a nemesis that has been messing with us for so long, killing us for so long, and then with the mission to wipe out Israel and United States.
Yeah, and it seems most people are looking at the attacks through one of two lenses. Either, oh my God, this is going to kill the Republicans in the midterms if they can't get prices down and keep boots on the ground out of this war. And then there's the other lens, which is what Cuellar and many folks are bringing up. Hey, this battle with Iran, it has been going on for decades, and this is our best chance to get them. And that sounds like what Trump is saying right now. Hey, you know, I don't think he's saying midterms be damned. I think he still thinks they'll be able to turn the ship around in time.
You know, how long this thing's last, that's going to be the big question.
That's
right?
The big question. And how long prices are elevated, oil prices, especially with the Strait of Hormuz. But for Trump, and you said it this morning where he said, hey, this short-term spike is well worth it.
If we have a little high oil prices for a little while, but as soon as this ends, those prices are going to drop, I believe, lower than even before.
This is Patrick DeJohn from Gas Buddy, by the way.
Diesel fuel has spiked 75 cents a gallon, rising to $4.59 a gallon across much of the country, with Gas Buddy tracking at least six states where average diesel prices have risen by over a dollar a gallon in the last 7 days.
It's going to get a little uncomfortable. Like you, I was saying, why didn't I fill up, you know, when
at the beginning of the war.
Monday, like of last week, which I did not.
So I think, you know, the two lens you can look at it through, either midterm lens, hey, we've got to do whatever we can to win this election, or the long-term, you know, health of the United States and
peace on earth,
Iran, and say, hey, whatever it takes, this is the best chance and time to do it. Hadn't that kind of been what's limited us and makes it so difficult to compete equally with China and Russia? Is just the fact that everyone is always so concerned every 2 years whether they're going to win at the ballot box or not.
You're right.
It's how our republic is set up, so I understand that completely. But when you're making short-term decisions because you need to win, you could see how that isn't beneficial to you long-term and is a massive reason why we're in the trouble that we're in now, whether it's the debt or whatever you want to take a look at, international warfare or whatever it may be. So,
and the fact that you could say, you know, other presidents did not act this way because of the concern with the midterms, et cetera, the next election for them, possibly. But when you get right down to it, what president, you know, maybe Bush, but what because of Cheney, maybe. But what president actually would have made this move other than Trump? He's just got a different set. He's got a different pair. He's the reason we're in this. Now it's a matter of, is it going to work?
Yeah, and it seems to me like it is a hell of a gamble, because the midterms do ride on how long this war takes and what prices are looking like, what folks' wallets are looking like when they head to the ballot box.
821, Dana Dalton, your thoughts, 251-343-0106. Let us know on the text line.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
We do. That text line, 251-343-0106. A lot of text to get to, Dio.
Yeah, there sure are. With the war in Iran and Ali Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, named the next supreme leader. So with that, Iran signaling they're in this fight for the long haul. Looking at the text line, Gardner says that's why we can't depend on Congress. They can't make a decision without thinking about re-election. Glenn texting in again and says, but you are assuming Iran will not place another American-hating dictator in place and continue on with their current position. Like, it hasn't been that way for 50-plus years. Kind of ridiculous to think you will change their position. All they have to do is wait out Trump. Yeah, I think Iran, and I forget who published it, but basically that they've announced that is their strategy. All they have to do to win the Iranian regime, that is just survive. And
and remain that type of regime.
Yeah, and remain in power.
Yeah.
Which is the part that Israel and the U.S. don't want to see. And with them naming the successor as Khamenei's son, Trump and Netanyahu basically seem to think they're just going to keep cutting off heads until they get to the person that they're fine with leading the country.
Probably so.
And I don't know who that would be, but Trump said it is not Khamenei's son. Firedog says the Iran situation will lower prices over the long run. Right now, ships passing the Strait of Hormuz prior to the war and previously had to pay insurance. If Iran can no longer threaten ships, no insurance, plus the kneecapping of Russia and China. Rick says, if these gas prices continue to increase, I'm going to have to go back and relearn my siphoning skills. I was working on that some this past summer with our little inflatable pool. I had to siphon the water out to get it to completely drain. And, yeah, it takes you back when you get to do that with the hose. Siphon. I've never siphoned gas out of a tank, though. I'll say that.
No, I've never considered it.
This texter, who allowed the ex-presidents to speak along with Kamala if they didn't have a relationship with Jesse personally? Who's pulling those strings? I'm sure they each had some sort of personal relationship because he was so active in politics, especially during Clinton and Obama's years.
But yeah. But there's subtleties to everything. And what Jesse Jackson Jr. is saying is it was not a productive relationship. It was not a warm or close relationship. And when they said what they said, and they were used the pulpit for political reasons, it offended him.
Yeah, and I think with good reason, right?
I think absolutely.
Michael says diesel prices have gone up significantly more than gas also. He says it's well above $4 everywhere I've seen recently.
Yes, that seems to be a pretty big problem immediately.
Texter here, the Alabama gas tax is about 31 cents a gallon right now. Thank you, Alabama Chris Elliott, for voting this in. Remember this, people, during the primaries. Troy fan text again, very happy with the Troy Trojans basketball team, who's playing for the Sun Belt title tonight, and says, call it like it was. Jesse Jackson was a race-baiting corporate shakedown con artist. Good riddance. And then many people talking about, you had a story, or you were just remembering the Dinglewood Pharmacy over in Georgia and their
Columbus
world-renowned chili dog. Well, someone looked it up, or maybe has been there, said the scrambled dog had chili plus oyster crackers on top.
That's right.
So good, they said. And now if you go to the DinglewoodPharmacy.com website, it's the world-famous Dinglewood scrambled dog.
I told you. Very proud of that dog. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
834 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. On this Monday, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine here. And start of another work week. You have a lot of work trucks out there at McConnell Automotive, and trucks and SUVs and cars for folks who just want to have a little fun, too.
That's right. You want to go a little dirt riding, man. We got jacked up trucks, four-wheel drive, diesels, gas, whatever you want. I mean, a truck, I just see 18-wheeler leaving here right now. It just dropped off a load of Yukon. So we've got a great selection of cars. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. The feed's getting to be a little slow. We got so many cars, but we're getting them out there. So like I said, McConnellAutomotive.com, we've got a great selection. Pre-owned, certified, still got that 0% on half-ton pickup trucks. So, we've got the great deal. Mm-hmm. One-stop shop, got a great service department, great body shop. So come on by and see us.
Yep, one-stop shop for sure, and you make it easy on the customer. I know that's very much appreciated. And we appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Raddick. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Breitbart does a really good, at the end of the day, kind of a, here's what happened day nine, you know.
Oh, of the war?
With the conflict, yeah, the war, right. Of all countries, who might get involved and send experts into the region?
North Korea.
Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine.
Ukraine is going to do that.
They're going to help with the drone situation, right?
Yeah, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky said on Sunday that military experts with experience in handling Iranian attack drones, which have been used by Vladimir Putin's Russia against Ukraine. So they have got some experience in this.
Definitely, and with like, those specific drones, those, yeah.
Right. So they're going to go assess the situation and provide assistance any way that they can, accordingly, in theater in Iran.
Yeah.
I thought that's pretty, around it. And that's pretty interesting that they would give some of their people to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've become experts in the drone, hemisphere there. Ukraine has. It's interesting them getting involved, but depending, and I'd love to know the exact truth. I don't know if we'll get it, but it seems like Iran has had some success hitting a lot of the radars in the Middle East that the United States uses to know, exactly what missiles are going where. So I don't know how successful they've been, but they have at least made some contact with some of those radars in the Middle East, those Shahed drones. I don't know if or when they would run out of them. And you were kind of, I think we were off the air and you were saying, who knows whether Iran still has plenty of these drones and missiles in the stockpiles and are just holding off and waiting to use them, or if they're truly running out. But there's no doubt they've been using much or a lot fewer than they were in the early days of the war.
So we don't know. I don't think Israeli intelligence and CIA intelligence has been remarkable on this. But I don't know that they're certain for certain whether Iran has slowed down because they are trying to conserve, or if they're that far down the barrel of necessary munitions, or a little bit of both. Also, over the weekend, you had Starmer, saying, "Hey, you know what I'll do now?" Trump's like, "Yeah, no, don't bother."
Yeah. So Starmer said after he didn't let the United States use Diego Garcia to launch attacks from, and said plenty of other things critical about the war. Even a lot of his own countrymen saying, "Hey, Iran is a threat to us too, dude. Like, we need to get in on this." So he finally says, "Hey, I'm willing to help." And Trump says, "Too little, too late. We don't need your help anymore."
The war's been won.
Quite
in typical of Trump fashion. And last but not least, also reported by Breitbart, reported by Reuters as well, that there are some divisions between hardliners and more pragmatic factions in the Iranian government.
That's kind of expected, right?
Yeah. But now, this was before they picked
Khamenei,
the new leader, Khamenei, which sent the signal that they're all the way in it. But there are factions that are close to Iran's leadership, speaking with anonymously, that claim there are deep divides over perhaps the most important decision. So they picked him, but it came with a lot of division on both sides. The choice has been made, but it didn't come across easily like a clean sweep.
So you have the hardliners there, and then you have the pro-life, as in, I'd like to stay alive.
I'd like to stay alive.
So let's do something differently than what we're doing now.
And when you're among those who are more moderate, you probably have to be real careful even letting that be known.
I bet.
But they did. So we'll see how this plays out. But right now, Iran looks like they're all in.
Let's get to the text line. Jason says, and this was in regards to the Stockton Solar Farm. We had Mike Tabb on last week. We'll try to get more guests on even this week. It says, "Good morning, guys. I applaud and envy our Stockton friends rallying support for their community. But after listening to Mr. Tabb on Friday, it sounds like a clean, quiet development." He said they better hope the current landowner doesn't sell to D.R. Horton out of spite. and drop a 300-home development in there. And listening and reading some more from the Stop the Solar, what is it, Stockton Stop the Solar, or I need to look up exactly the terminology.
Yeah, the name in my story just had to do with the Tensol.
Stop Solar in Stockton.
Okay.
And Megan Fowler, who is with the Friends of the Tensol River.
That's right. That's what she's with.
She'll hopefully be on with us here very soon. But it doesn't sound like, even though Stockton, that solar farm in particular, is the one in their bullseye, it's more of a discussion for many of these folks about beyond that. Like, will North Baldwin County just become this massive solar farm, like from solar farm to solar farm to solar farm, one right after the other up and down the road? That's what they're concerned about, and the ecological harm from that. And not so much the, as we kind of talked with Mike about, or I asked him on Friday about the specific solar panels and whatever they may leach into the ground, which I know some folks were concerned about that, but more so the runoff and just the construction and what that would mean. I know other folks are concerned about the weed killer that they, in some solar farms, put down on the ground to keep grass from, you know, becoming unruly. I don't know if they would use any of that because the Silicon Ranch says they'll have sheep out there to keep it low.
You know, it'd be interesting to, because if you read the attitude, I guess, of Silicon Ranch, you know, they've got these other places already. They've established, and it looks like they've got kind of a game plan on how they do it. They sneak up on you, and then suddenly it's there, and then they get it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, and they ply you with the promise of cute animals after they let you know they're moving into your area.
And we have a petting zoo for the kids. So where are the balloons? It'd be interesting to talk to somebody in some of those other communities where they are now viable, up and running, and see what their approach was there, how they got it done, and what, not only that, but what's the reaction maybe a year down the road, a year in, are people still up in arms about it? Two things. How were they able to get it all worked out in those communities? Because some are saying it's too far down the road here. They're to turn it around.
Yeah.
That's one of the arguments. And second of all, what has the reaction been in the end after a year or two with the solar farm being in their neighborhood, being in their community?
And you know, like Mike pointed out on Friday, it's a private, you know, area. It's a private wooded area that someone has the rights to, and they have the right to sell it and do with it as they wish. Obviously, with these zoning regulations they're trying to push, the citizens there want to stop it. But as Jason kind of pointed out in that text line too, not that it's one or the other, like there's only one alternative, but would you rather have a solar farm out there that you might not even really be able to see, or would you rather have another 300 home development? That's kind of the other argument that I'm seeing people put out there. Okay, you've got this big issue with the solar farm coming to town. Well, would you rather 300 more homes go there instead? And I don't know if that's a great argument, because I'm sure you ask most people in Baldwin County and they'd say neither. Let's just leave the woods there.
Yeah, there is some development, and I don't have all the facts on this, but in between Spanish Fort and going up toward Bay Minette, there's some home developments, some pretty big neighborhoods going up in that area. Just having that Baldwin County stamp on your residence says a lot, especially to people who are moving here from well outside the area.
Butterknife says there are two completely different solar farms, very close. Canoe right on the road looks horrible. The one just outside of Century, nobody even sees it because it has a buffer zone of trees around it, which sounds like the plan for the Stockton farm. Gene says 241 solar farms in Florida. Jason, who sent that initial text talking gas prices too, says the same people that monitor price gouging during hurricanes should be getting involved on these gas prices and the local stations raising them at unrealistic rates. Look at the Chevron by your station in front of Aldi. It's 25 to 30 cents per gallon higher than the Chevron around the corner by Home Depot. I know, and Paul pointed out on the text line, I think it was the morning last Monday, so a week ago, would have been, 2 days into the attacks in Iran? And there was one station around here, I forget which one it was, but they were 30 cents higher than the rest. So they had, and that was like a change from the day prior. So they were really getting ahead of it. I wish I could remember which station that was.
Made the big adjustment right away.
And Bill says, don't y'all know, with the solar, he says, don't y'all know we need this additional energy to watch more cat videos? Are people still just, I guess so. My kids are probably watching cat videos all the time and using up all that solar that we're going to be gathering in Stockton now. Texter here. Don't forget those people that spoke at Jesse Jackson's funeral shut him out and silenced him years ago. And another texter, the Chris Elliott gas tax is hurting Alabama's working families. Vote him out. I think I've heard more. That's been the main complaint for Senator Elliott. I know many of you have plenty of other reasons that you've gone after him, but the gas tax vote, that's the one that gets brought up more than any others. And I know he's totally willing to respond and has plenty of times as he goes on the Jeff Poor Show on Fridays. Also wanted to talk about this too, and maybe it's just because I'm so interested in these prediction markets like Kalshi and Poly Market, and I've talked about it before. It's like gambling. I mean, it's basically a big loophole.
And you don't need games.
You don't need
point spreads. You don't need any of that.
Well, I mean, it's prediction market for anything. Like it could be, when does the war in Iran end? I use these markets for sports, which it's interesting as the Alabama legislature continues to debate whether or not they want to put a vote in front of the people for lottery. And beyond that, just any kind of gambling. Basically, wherever you are in the world, I think, except Iran and North Korea and some of these places, you can jump on these prediction markets and bet on sports games. I mean, I did it on Saturday. I did it yesterday as well. It's basically a big loophole where you bet against the market rather than against the sports book. And you've got two of the biggest players here, Poly Market and Kalshi. And let me tell you, I watched the UFC Saturday night. They had a big title fight. It was actually the BMF belt on Saturday night. But for their advertisements, and it's all on Paramount now, every single ad was one of these companies, Dan. Like, I'm not even joking. Every single commercial was one of these prediction market companies and encouraging people to jump on and bet. And even during the fights, they had the live odds, the live percentage chances via Poly Market that each fighter had in that. So they've become massive here over, I'd say, these last 4 months, especially Kalshi and Poly Market.
I know, and I've heard of Poly Market, not
Kalshi is a big one too. Kalshi, which I've used that one. Underdog has it too. I haven't used Poly Market yet, but you talk about some of these other markets that they have available on there. And one of them that I was keeping tabs on for a long time was, when will the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei be out of office? And there were plenty of bets. I don't know how much money was in the pool, but I would guess millions. Yeah, $54 million, it says here, was how much money was in the pool for when Khamenei would be out of office. Well, I don't know if they expected, they had to have taken it into account, that one of the potential ways he would be taken out of office would be
This way,
death. And so on Kalshi, they said they weren't paying out the bets that Khamenei would be out as Supreme Leader by March or April 1st. And you have people who said they had predicted
that. Why?
So Kalshi initially froze the trade for everyone who bet on that scenario and said the site doesn't allow transactions, quote, directly tied to death.
Wow.
That triggered an online uproar.
Because I guess it's almost like we can, a betting line or better, it can lead to a murder.
Yes, and that's what The Atlantic is saying. Now, I think there's a lot of freaking out from people who would rather just not see these markets be a thing. So that's one thing. But I think there are some legitimate questions to ask about that. Because you talk about insider trading with college basketball, right? Or college football. Well, we've been through this already some before with the Venezuela operation. And they said some people logged in, created new accounts, and put big money on certain predictions having to do with Venezuela. And I don't remember exactly which ones they were. I'm sure it had to do with Maduro or who was in power. Just people who knew or had a great feeling that something was about to go down in Venezuela, put money on the right things, and then made big money when we went in and took Maduro out. So there have already been allegations of insider trading. You have Kalshi who's saying now they're not going to pay out for prediction markets tied directly to someone dying. Poly market.
They maybe should have thought about that before they put the bet online.
So poly, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And some of these, I don't think they were going to thought that they had to pay out for, or maybe they thought Kamini would stand down and say, hey, just want you to know after this year, I'm wrapping things up as the Ayatollah and I'll be taking retirement. That's not the way things went down. So in that same kind of vein, Polymarket had long-running markets that let users bet on the likelihood of a nuclear weapon detonating. And then once this war with Iran started
dark.
They took those off the market. The nuclear detonation contracts, which at times implied risks as high as 19% of nuclear warfare and drew millions of dollars in volume, renewed concerns that insiders could profit from advanced knowledge of military actions. So then you had The Atlantic this weekend running an article, insider trading is going to get people killed. War markets are a national security threat.
How about that? And you thought that Ole Miss being favored over Alabama was a travesty.
Yeah.
Now you know. That's amazing.
We could get a segment going, and I know we had Governor Ivey's Bet of the Week for a while there, where she would hop on and let us know which side she liked in certain basketball games. Maybe a Leonard's losers, but we're dealing with international events.
Mm.
Get some kind of segment like that coming up where, I got to tell you, Kim Jong-un, he's coming off a back-to-back. I don't like his odds of surviving the weekend.
Yeah. Plus, Rodman's back in the States, and they say he's kind of depressed. 852 with Dan and Dalton.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Dateline on ABC, long-running news show at 10:30 at night, whenever it is.
Nightline or Dateline?
Oh, Nightline. Dateline's NBC. Nightline started as an update on the hostages in Iran.
Mm.
And I don't think ABC had any intention that it was going to go on for 30 or 35, 40 years, whatever. I don't know when it ended, but that was a long-running show. You remember it, right?
Yes, I remember the name. I don't know.
Nightline.
I remember, tuning in.
So in the same way, Polymarket was founded in 2020, a pandemic-era crypto-based prediction platform with initial operations focusing on COVID-19-related questions.
Hmm.
So that's how it started. Interesting.
Yeah, and I know, I think it was the founder of that Polymarket who a year ago maybe, it wasn't long ago, he was raided, I think, by the FBI, and they were going through his phones and computers and stuff, mm-hmm. and then they decided it was all
fine.
On the up and up, I guess, or that they were able to make some money off of it. So now he's one of the richest young people in the world. Let's see. Glenn says, I believe it's naive to think we can change the Middle East. Have we learned nothing from the years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan? I said, I did vote for Trump, but he's going back on what he ran on. Gardner says, why doesn't Alabama have four-lane roads like Mississippi?
There you go.
And Butterknife says, let's see. Take Highway 31 to Atmore. You'll see the Canoe Solar Farm. I think that may have been the one that – was that the one that State Senator Albritton was referencing?
Yep, I think it
was. Also when he was talking with Jeff last week. And then Butterknife says, gas tax vote, good science vote, getting rid of the overtime tax vote. He says lots of reasons to go after Elliott. So Chris Elliott, State Senator, feeling the heat from our text line a little bit this morning. And the text line keeps rolling all the way into the Jeff Poor Show, 251-343-0106. Coming up today, State Representative Shane Stringer in hour number one. I'm sure we'll hear from him, the latest from Montgomery, including on his bill regarding Big Creek Lake.
Yep.
Dale Jackson with WVNN in hour number two, and then former congressman and candidate again for AL1, Jerry Carl, joins Jeff in hour number three.
Boy, a lot to get to. I could respond to some of those Iran questions right now in the Middle East, but we'll just kind of pick it up in the morning. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, back with you at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jeff Poor, straight ahead.